Certaines parmi vous le connaissent déjà, d'autres non. Moi, je connais Franck depuis plus de 25 ans. Je l'ai rencontré dans la première retraite que j'ai faite, le premier contact que j'ai eu avec ce qu'aujourd'hui appelle Dana Sangha, mais à l'époque, ça ne s'appelait pas ça. Et à la suite, on a vécu, on a aidé Ganoroshi à créer d'abord le Sangha Dana, ça n'avait pas de nom à l'époque, et puis on a vécu à Montreuil et on a aidé à créer le centre, qui est aujourd'hui le centre Dana. Il y avait Alain aussi qui était là, d'autres gens aussi. On a vécu ensemble, Franck a vécu là 7 ans, moi j'ai vécu là 6. Au même moment, on est parti, lui il est retourné en Belgique, il avait d'autres périples aussi, il a étudié avec Bernie Glassman, etc. Et puis il a créé son centre à Gand, je ne sais pas quelle année.
2003.
Ok, 2003. Et il a donc un Sangha, centre à Gand, Zen Sangha Belgium, ça s'appelle. Et il est le resident teacher, le fondateur. Et il est avec nous ce soir. J'ai oublié quelque chose.
Non? Je suis marié, j'ai 2 ans.
Exactement, voilà, c'est bien. Ce qui était curieux, c'est que pendant qu'on vivait ensemble, moi j'avais des petits-enfants, Franck était célibataire, libre comme l'air. Aujourd'hui, mes enfants sont grands et Franck est marié, il a 2 petits-enfants et sa femme Alexandra est là aussi. Les enfants, non. Donc, il vit un peu la vie que moi, je vivais quand on vivait ensemble. Householder, father, père, famille, etc.
Épuisé.
Je comprends. Donc, bienvenue. Je précise qu'on est en train de faire Facebook Live avec cette talk. Donc, c'est pour ça qu'on a cet appareil ici. Et il y aura peut-être des gens qui posent des questions par Facebook. Si vous n'êtes pas familier avec Facebook Live, la vidéo vit à jamais sur Facebook. Donc, si jamais vous voulez re-regarder, c'est là, sur notre page Facebook. Et s'il y a des gens qui ne sont pas ici, qui aimeraient regarder, c'est sur Facebook à jamais. Tu ne peux plus jamais échapper de Facebook parce que tu es là pour toujours. Donc, merci.
Voilà. So what's the time like? Usually like an hour?
As long, yeah, we should be finished by 10 with okay. Everything. Okay.
Bonsoir tout le monde. Je m'excuse, mais je ne vais pas parler le français ce soir. So thank you, Amy, Roshi, for the invitation to come to this place. It feels really like joyful to be here. I mean, with Corinne Sensei, with Alain, with a number of people I know from a long time, Celine, Joao, and some people I see for the first time, but it feels very much like at home already, you know. It's and it's also in a way a particular time in these weeks. As Amy said, I trained in Dana Center in Montreuil, and Ganoroshi is my root teacher, she is my teacher. And yet it happened that I also spent a lot of time with Bernie Glassman Roshi, Bernie Roshi. And studying with Bernie was like more like working and hanging out with Bernie, and doing things together. And over the years, I was fortunate to spend quite some time with him. And as you without doubt know, Bernie passed away like 5 weeks ago, November 4th. And it's very particular, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure, Amy, you talked about Bernie Roshi here, and we all did in our sanghas, because I think for our lineage he was really very important and meaningful, and particularly maybe for the Dana Sangha in the mid-90s, for Geno Sensei then, I think Bernie was really of utmost importance as a kind of support in the way she developed the Sangha. But also for me personally, these... it's actually the first time that I experience that a teacher, one of my main mentors, dies. And I did really feel bereaved. I mean, I felt really like mourning. So I would like to tell, I'm not going to talk about Bernie because, but I would like to tell a little story that happened. And that kind of, for me, evokes a little bit, you know, the quality of connection we had. I mean, first of all, I think Bernie was very instrumental in bringing service back to the core, to the heart of Zen practice. I mean, it's like his calling, eh? Like a spiritually based social action was like the thing he kind of brought back to the attention, eh? as a way of practice for some people. So that's for sure. But Bernie had different aspects, different facets, and his practice he designed according to different energies, the five Buddha families, the five wisdoms. And he designed something like what he called a plunge, where we really, with hardened soul, wholeheartedly dive into something, to really grok it, as he said, to really like become one with it. So apart from his bearing witness retreats and street retreats, he also developed something he called the order of disorder, where he asked people to train in clowning. He himself had done some training with Mr. Yuhu. So he wanted us to see things also from a kind of a light point of view. So, I think it was around, I'm not so sure, 2002. Every year in Ghent, although I was still living here in Montreuil and training here, but every year for about 8 years, Geno Sensei then came to Flanders, to Belgium, to do a retreat, a kind of large retreat in a monastery near Ghent. And we organized it with our Ghent group. And Geno Roshi came, and a lot of our Dutch friends from the Sangha came, and it was, you know, there were like 40 people, like, it was a well-attended retreat. So I was going ahead a couple of days to do the preparations and the shopping, and the evening before the retreat started, Geno Sensei called me, and she said, "Frank, I can't come. You know, my back..." Sometimes she had this back that she said, "I can't even sit, you know, not even thinking about driving the car up, you know, you will need to lead the retreat, you know, the people of the Sangha will help you and it's going to be fine and you're able to do it." And I thought, yes. To be honest, I thought, you know, I was totally intimidated, but on the other hand I was kind of really, wow. So we talked a little about how to do it, and you know, I knew Corinne was coming also, and so the next day we started the retreat, a big group, you know, and as it happened, the people of the Sangha were really helpful and supportive. And so we started off and we went into our Sesshin modus. And, you know, it went well and I did my first talk. And although I was very nervous, something worked, at least for me. And we went into the third day. And the third day in the morning, during the Teisho, suddenly the door slams open and enters a clown. Like, dressed up, stripes, I do remember, nose. Oh, 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 yes, oh. And I thought, you know, suddenly I recognized Corinne coming in, dressed up as a clown, in the middle of the talk. And so Corinne came in, and I kind of understood, you know, that she had been on a workshop at Bernie a couple of days before, Corinne?
Right before the session.
And he asked you?
And he told me, he thought that Geno Sensei was going to be there, and he said to me, now you're getting a task. You have to do a clowning during Sesshin. And I was terrified, and I said, and I asked Sensei first, and he said, no, you don't ask, you don't tell anybody, you just do it. And when I came and Fuad told me, Sensei is ill, she will not, I thought, oh, thank heavens, I don't have to do this. And then during those 2 days of Zazen, it came up for me that really I realized Bernie had asked me to do this without, you know, there was no condition of Geno Sensei being there or not there. And I thought, oh shit, I have to do it. And just to make a little
precision, yeah.
Precision. I did not come in during the Teisho.
Oh.
Before the Dharma talk, we have half an hour of Zazen.
Oh.
And I came in during the Zen,
okay.
So everybody was completely silent. And I remember you told me that in the first moment you did not recognize me,
right.
And you thought it was a drunk man who was wrong in the door, who had wanted to go because it was a convent, maybe they were looking for, you know, homeless people. Also, or that somebody who missed the door of another room. And then I started coming in, and I had, of course, I wasn't prepared for this thing, so I had put on my pyjamas in the wrong room,
okay.
Like that. And I had a lot of things in my arms. I don't know, I just picked up anything I had. And it started falling down, and it was making very much noise. And in that moment, you told me you recognized me, and your first thought was, oh no, Corinne, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, absolutely. But actually, you were great. Huh? I remember.
I don't know.
No, really. I mean, you were kind of, oh, can I sit there? And she came to sit with us. You know, and people, we were all on the shock. And I remember this Dutch practitioner, Beppie. You know, like Beppie, you know, with the with the Republican spirit at the Dutch. Asking Corinne Sensei, what are you doing here? And I remember Corinne looking back straight to Beppie in the eyes and asking her, what are you doing here? And you know, it was like bang. It was amazing. So all this thing was going on. In the afternoon there were interviews. Came in this tall Dutch man, kind of sat down and started to talk, and he said, you know, all this stuff, what's going on? Huh? And I said, yeah, isn't that? And he said, this is not Zen. And I asked him, what is Zen? And he said, Zen is concentration. And I said, you know, and you, a little sixth patriarch and Dogen, saying that Zen meditation is not so much about concentration in a way. So he said, Zen is about concentration. And I said, Zen is not about concentration. I was really proud. It was the first session, you know. I'm like a total baby teacher, you know. Zen is not. And the man was really like puzzled, and I was a little arrogantly proud of myself. I think, yeah. So, all this happened. A couple of days later, Bernie Roshi comes from Germany to Ghent, you know, to meet and we talk. So we were talking and we were walking around, and I tell the story about this clown coming into the sashin. And Bernie listening, and I said, you know, and there was this Dutch man, and he came to say, you know, this is not Zen. And I asked, what is Zen? And he said, Zen is concentration. And I said to Bernie, and I said, Zen is not concentration. And then the thing I had like not, the evident question that I had like not previewed, you know, Bernie turned to me and said, Frank, what is Zen? So, but it was, you know, he... In a way, I think he often created situations where people were like a little pushed, you know, or he could see a situation to really like, you know, get something of the qualities of the people, you know. And I feel like I owe him a lot. So in that sense, it's been a particular time, and in a way, I think it fits well in with, you know, when we talked, Amy, Roshi and me, before coming, I felt like I wanted to do something with this old Zen story about the buffalo and the window. And in a way, I think it has a lot to see also with what for Bernie was really meaningful in our practice. So I would like to do with you a kind of experiment. I would like to present you this old Zen story a little bit, and then we're going to talk about it together. And I will need your participation in it. Do you think we could agree to that? Would you be willing? Well, we'll see. We'll find a form. But let me first... I guess some of you might have heard the story. Huh? Can I have the cushion, Kirby? Okay. So it's a story from a collection called The Mumon Khan, The Gateless Gate, number 38. And I'll first read the story and then a little comment on it, try to contextualize it a little bit, and then we're going to talk about it. Gozo said, to give an example, it is like a buffalo passing through a window. His head, horns, and four legs have all passed through. Why is it that his tail cannot? Tail. Le queue. Le buffle. It's big. And yet, the tail is small, tiny. So Gozo said, you know, Gozo was a Chinese Zen teacher. I mean, those who have read the book, you know, we will meet Gozo several times. He is also the one who told the story about Seijo and her soul, this beautiful story, and about something, a man meeting a man of the Tao on the way. It's also Gozo, right? Gozo. And he was a teacher who lived in the 10th century. So some of the stories about this Gozo, Wuzhu in Chinese, were known in China and were written down. And the man, Mumon, who compiled this collection of stories, picked a few of Gozo stories. And Gozo himself, he only became a Zen monk when he was 35, so kind of late. And he came from a Buddhist school which was more like philosophically oriented. And he was very much troubled by a saying when he was told that if you drink the water yourself, you will know if it's hot, if it's warm or cold. If you drink it yourself, then you will know if it's warm. So he was like, what does it mean? What does it mean for me as a practitioner to drink the water? So eventually he met a teacher, he got some insight and realization, and he became a teacher himself. And he designed this question. To give an example, it's an example. It is like a buffalo going through a window. His head, two horns, and four legs have all passed through. Why is it that its tail cannot? So, that's the situation, that's the question. So, what I suggest is that we're going to split up in groups. Groups of, I think, four or three people. Those who have already worked with the Gon, they go into a separate group. Huh? But the other groups, and we talk a little bit, we share how we hear this story. When I really try to, to be in touch with the situation, it's like a buffalo. What is the buffalo? What is passing through the window? What comes up for me? When I try to see the story, to feel the story from the inside. What is the tale? Why can't it go through? And what is it an example of? I read somewhere in an old commentary by Nyugen Sanzaki, early Zen teacher in the West, who wrote about China. He had lived in China. And Nyugen Sanzaki writes that the stable, le table, stable, where, buffaloes, especially male buffaloes, they were tame, yet sometimes they could become wild again. So buffaloes were kept in a stable with a window. The gate, the portail, gate, they put a large rock so the buffalo could, because buffaloes kind of stuff. And under the window, on the outside, a ditch filled with water was, delved. So even if he would attempt to go through the window, he would fall in the ditch. That's what the guy, Nyugen Sanzaki, writes. So I want you to kind of share with the people in your small group, if you think about it, what is this about? What is the situation about? And even more, how does it speak to me regarding my practice? Regarding my spirituality? This buffalo. What is this about? Time starts. Right now. So let's split up in groups of three or four. You sit together. Chair people can move the chairs together, and we will have 17 minutes to share. It's not about being right, it's not about having a good result, but it's more like listening, sharing, and seeing how it inspires you to question the story. All right? Okay, let's get together, let's organize ourselves. Maybe you can make a group here. Yeah? Maybe you can join those people. And please express yourself. Don't be afraid. Do not monopolize the group, but do not be afraid to express yourself and your understanding. Huh?